This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The next gentleman we're bringing on here, I figured he was either one or two places. With Charles Mann, he could be doing a TED Talk. That's for real. He could be doing a TED Talk, or he could be on a table being operated on. One of those two things could really be happening. And I'm not joking. Because this dude is tough as nails. And I know he lives for the big game. The bigger the game, the better Charles Mann. And he was a part of this cowboy thing with two premier franchises. See, everybody hates Dallas. So they're in multiple big conflicts with Philly, the Niners. Charles experienced this on several platforms. So I wonder, Mr. Mann, first of all, thank you and tell the members of the board that we won't keep you long. But what does this week do for you, man?
Man, I'm actually coming to the game too. So
really,
I don't get out much these days to these games, but I'm coming to this game. I'm actually sitting with a group, a small group, so I can focus on the actual game. Because every time I come to these alumni weekends and all this stuff,
game,
man,
yeah.
I'm sitting there talking. Everybody can't see the game.
I know.
So I want to watch the game, man. I want to get into the game. I want to feel something like we used to feel. I mean, Doc, you remember the Georgetown would be shut down. People are on top of the light poles.
Yep.
You know, people are asking, we want Dallas or Dallas sucks week before we play them.
Banners. Tell them. You know, tell Essex, Charles. See, they think I'm just been hit the head too many times. It was collegiate. It was like rival in college.
Yes. I mean, people, we shut down the city. The city would really be focused on only Dallas week. And I'm hoping, because of what I've been watching this season, I'm hoping that we get a little taste of that back. And what better way to see than actually go to the game? But I know you wanted me to give one of my Dallas memories. And you know what? Believe it or not, my Dallas memory is the real coach of Dallas with the brim and everything, Tom Landry, and him stoically sitting there while we're trying to get them to jump off sides. Remember that?
Yep. No, yeah, Danny, no.
Newhouse. Yeah. No, Danny, no. There you go. That's my memory. And I wasn't even starting at the time. I was actually on the field. I don't know if Dexter needed a break or was gassed or they were wearing him out or whatever was happening. And I was out there. But I remember that, and they were, please don't hike the ball. And he hiked the ball to Robert Newhouse, and we stuffed him. And that's what I remember. I remember RFK stands bouncing up and down. I remember certain people in the stands, the Hoggettes. You know, it was life changing. That time was life changing to us as players, and we didn't know what we didn't know. We didn't understand how deep and how strong that rivalry was until it went away, until it's no more. So we're hoping to get it back.
Yeah, and Essek, I really want you to understand what he's saying, that Georgetown, imagine the people who play in New York or Chicago or L.A., I mean really big cities, may get it. Imagine being downtown. There were literally banners. I don't think you believe what I'm saying. Banners in Washington, D.C., and in Reston, and in Herndon, around the cities that I to this day, when I say it, people go, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, in a pro city about this team.
Yeah, it was crazy. Hey, what about the time where the fans were at Redskin Park waiting for us to come back? I'm not sure.
Oh, 4 a.m.? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, 4 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah. Lights on, pajamas.
It was That was crazy.
Us all lined up, lights on. And if we lost, same thing.
Yeah,
that's the most impressive thing. Even if we stubbed your toe, we lost in Chicago in that 48-49 deal on Monday night.
Oh my God! Yeah,
that was hard. Yeah. But still,
a shootout.
So that's what you know. I know as an older head, you just try to translate to these guys. Although DQ has done a great job, they play like they've already heard us say this. They seem to have a genuine enthusiasm about them. As if somebody's already let him in on this, which I think is good.
Doc, I still say the same thing I said back when I was 22 years old, that when you sign on to the Redskins, or now the Commanders, you sign on to hate Dallas Cowboys. You do. And that's what I used to say, and I still say that today. I can't help myself. Joe Gibbs was really good at embedding a thought in your head, and then you would come out and say it to the reporters all week long. He would just brainwash us about why it was so important to win, and what was the rules, or what were the keys to victory, and how we had to humble ourselves, and we're not that good, and blah blah blah. And then we'd go out there and tell the fans or tell the media, we're not that good. You know, those are some tough suckers. You know, I mean, I'm still saying that stuff. I mean, he had us brainwashed, and we said exactly what he told us every single day at that 10 o'clock in the morning meeting, all hands on deck. And he just imparted into us a mindset that we went out and said the same thing to the media and all week long. And eventually you start believing it. But, Doc, the last thing I'd love to just make sure I impart to you is, even today, I remember the keys to win.
The five keys.
That's how much.
Yeah.
I remember the three teams, special teams, offense and defense, keys to win.
Right.
So on defense, hold opponents to 17 points or less. On defense, keep the running back under 100 yards.
Yeah.
On defense, win the time of possession. On defense, you know, all these. And then on the flip side, on the offense, rush for over 100 yards. That was the key.
3.2.
We had to get three sacks in every game.
Yeah.
So on the offensive side, it was no sacks.
No sacks.
So in 1991-1992 season, Mark Griffin was only sacked 9 times the whole season.
Yeah.
The whole season. That's 16 games plus the 4 playoff games. How do you do that? 20 games, 9 sacks?
Did you see those big people that were in front of him?
And including the tight ends were big people.
Yeah, and the backs big people. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, and the backs were big people.
It's crazy. And Bosco's coming on today, you know, as well.
Okay.
And World Everybody had a part and a piece. Nelmsy.
Oh, my God.
And
every time you when you say a name, I remember something about.
Oh, yeah. How could you not?
But, oh, my God.
I was listening to B. Mitch today, and I was just laughing because he always translates the level of intensity it took in practice. And you know how our practices were. Yes. And most people today, they have no idea. That it, not no, even, I, n- dude.
I lost 3 years of playing
in practice. No question.
Yeah, if I could have practiced like the 49ers practice or one of
you'd have played three more.
Now,
you'd have had a lot more staff. Because Charles,
easily.
You'd have to say, "Hey, Charles, we have a game Sunday that we would like to be ready to play in it. Could you do us a favor?"
Doc, I'm sorry, Doc. I am actually sorry.
And I said, and allow us.
You were so much more cerebral than I was in the beginning.
Well, no. I was older. And I'm telling you, I said, dude, Charles, we knew when you messing with, but again, to be ready for game, Charles was better. Him, like I got a feel, when you had the two tall Jones for the Cowboy, the biggest human being I've ever seen in uniform, bigger than Dave Butts, because he's taller than Dave, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but Dave and them understood how to get through practice and world. Charles, you already knew he set the edge, so I knew he hit me harder than Too Tall has ever hit me. But I knew then, I knew what it felt like to get hit by Too Tall Jones. I didn't like it, right? So I said, I'm going to make sure that don't happen again. But Charles taught me, when you get hit that hard and it's like a Wednesday, then you know you never want to feel that again. So it teaches you how to practice. Because you think you're practicing a certain way. Oh, no. So all these things like Neil Okowitz, Mel Kaufman, God rest his soul.
Oh, my God.
That's my sparring partner. You know, him and Mel Kaufman. And on the other side, I'm flipping over my Nittany Lion. But my Nittany Lion, hey, man, them brothers and Pecatella coached them. You know our coaches, Torgy coach you, but the fights we have with the coaches that they had, that's how close it was, because our Wednesday practice, our scrimmages, we had so many mini wars within our own team. We had live goal line on Fridays, right?
Yeah, we sure did. We did.
Dude.
We did. We had, and then we had the
9-on-7. You had 9-on-7.
But that superseded the Rigo drill.
And then the Rig, right.
I just think of the Rigo drill was the, when I got to the NFL and I experienced the Rigo drill, I then realized I was in the NFL. And I got to see the first prima donna I had ever got to see.
Yeah.
Rigo would come out there, gut full. I mean, like, shirt up, you know, little tummy hanging over a little bit. He'd been relaxing in traction all week long, and then he'd run his 10 plays. You better not touch him. You better let him run counter tray left.
He sprint.
Counter tray right. You know, he would do his little thing. He'd get his 10 plays in.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay, we good. You know, I mean.
Yeah. He trained. He's a pro. Rigo reminded me of a boxer.
What?
Because he knew exactly what he needed to do to get ready for the fight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
it wasn't much.
And this is why I respect Joe Gibbs. An insecure coach would not have been able to handle Rigo. But Rigo never cheated you.
Let me just say this. Joe had to figure Rigo out. Rigo was a phenomenon.
He didn't pressure him.
No, but I'm saying no. He went back to his room into his coaching office trying to figure out how do I manage this guy when I'm telling everybody else something totally different?
But that's his genius.
You know,
that's his genius. Don't you agree?
Yeah, he figured it out. He figured it out.
Yeah, because
he did it all.
Remember the meetings? John would be John. And while I love John, no matter what John says, nobody's going to be in better shape. Nobody's going to be better than the game day. Don't pay attention to what he does or says. Pay attention to what he does in the game.
And he did it.
And there ain't going to be nobody you'd rather line up with next to John Riggs.
Yeah, no, he had a switch. And I don't know where how it came on or whatever, but somehow that switch came on.
Bionic.
And when it was Sunday, it was, yeah, it was.
It reminds me of Ovi. It really does. He's the guy with the Ovechkin gene. Because this I've seen this dude. This dude is bionic. But he, and because the key to John, John's always in shape. John trains. John may not let you see him train, but believe me, John trains. John may not be out there with you. John may be up in the mountain somewhere. He's running up mountains. He's doing something you don't see that puts him in incredible condition. Because you can't do what he does in the game.
But we had a bunch of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little disappointed in the Hall of Fame and what we've been able to do. I mean, the 91 the 91 football team was probably the best ever.
Yeah.
And it's certainly in the top five.
Yeah.
But we had athlete after athlete after athlete. Gary Clark, Art Monk, Ricky Sanders, just those three. We just stopped there and just think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
And then on the defensive side, you know, Darryl got his due, but I mean there were several.
Man,
I mean,
Wilbur,
Todd Bowles. I look at Todd Bowles.
Todd was a beast.
That guy, he was a coach on the field. From the minute he made the team, he was a coach on the field.
Yeah.
And he represented Pettibone actually out on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, it was flawless.
You know, it was no secret. Now, like, we're not surprised that the president of the Green Bay Packers plays safety on our teams. That's not nobody surprised. That's the kind of talent that was associated with this group of gypsies and hobos.
Blue collar
and just absolutely dudes. Yeah. It reminds me of what Indiana's doing right now in the Big Ten. And how they have a special year. This coach won at JMU. Like when he told Google me, he's won everywhere he's been. He reminds me a lot of Joe and the principles and how he set it up. And you get the right people together and everybody drop their ego, leave it in the glove box, and you can do amazing things.
You know what I'd say? I'd say the Detroit Lions remind me of us.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions remind me of us. They, you know, the quarterback was on the 49. I mean, on the Rams.
Yeah,
got him to the Super Bowl.
Number one pick, too. I might add. Yeah,
but panicked in the Super Bowl and didn't have a great game. And they just outcasted him, and then he went to Detroit and got a second life, and now he is just. I mean, it's fun to
it's
watch.
It's crazy. O line, D line. Look, man, I don't want your executive commissioner calling me mad. Because I held up a board meeting. Love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope that your presence means that we get a win. We get a win tomorrow.
I'll be there.
Okay, my brother.
I'll be waving out my suite.
All the best to the family. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
As Coach Thompson would say, Charles Mann, simply one of the best. And that's what Dallas Week brings out as we get a little nostalgic. Getting around Thanksgiving time and memories, man. But good memories about teammates. And maybe you hear something that, you know, you didn't know strikes you a little way. All the stuff on Riggo, man, it's a bad boy.